The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, the leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This has become one of my favorite verses in the Scriptures. And I've made the point before in how this verse doesn't exactly grab our attention today, but it would have packed a punch to how it would have been heard and received to the first hearers of Mark's gospel. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Christopher Hudson paints the picture for us. Imagine you live in Galilee around 70 AD. There's a war. Some radical Jews have revolted against Rome, and Jerusalem is under siege. Reports are that conditions in the city are bad. People are divided. Some see God raising up leaders to push out the infidels from the Holy Land. Others urge submission to Rome as a path to peace and security. Everyone is anxious, caught between resentment of heavy-handed soldiers and fear of extremist guerrillas. Furthermore, Emperor Nero died last year, and there's still unrest in Rome. Four men have been acclaimed emperor, only to be assassinated. Now Vespasian, the very general besieging Jerusalem, has been crowned. What does this mean for the war? Things are uncertain. The price of oil is skyrocketing. Olive oil, that is. The world is in turmoil. Where do you look for the future? Your village population is mixed, Jews and Gentiles, and tensions are high. Neighbors fear one another. Families fracture along ethnic lines. Now, there's one small sect who refuse to fight on either side. This small sect are followers of a Galilean rabbi named Jesus, who was crucified for insurrection about 40 years ago. Roman loyalists suspect them of continuing the alleged insurrection of their founder. The rabbis call them heretics, and the zealot rebels dismiss them and their founder as ineffective against Roman oppression. But you are intrigued by their claim that Jesus' crucifixion is a symbol of God's good news for Israel and Rome. You ask, if this Jesus was really God's prophet, how is his execution good news? Someone hands you a scroll with a title scribbled on it, and that title says, "The Beginning of the Good News About Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God." The title is provocative. This good news is foremost a story about Jesus. The word Messiah reflects Jewish apocalyptic traditions about the eschatological inbreaking of God who shakes the world, turning it right side up to restore the order under God's reign. And the designation Son of God challenges the claim that is found on coins next to the portrait of the emperors. It would say Son of God. So we might expect this story to challenge the established political order. And in addition to those coins, joyful tidings and good news, it was the same term used in the inscription from 9 BC announcing the birth of Emperor Augustus. So this announcement of good news in verse 1 is not a line that we should underestimate. The original audience who have been longing to hear some good news amid the Jewish war with Rome from 66 to 70 AD would have been relieved to hear some sense of good news, some hope for the future. But before we can look forward, Mark takes us back as he blends the prophecies of Isaiah and Malachi that sets the stage for John the Baptist. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, a voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you will seek suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." The depiction of John the Baptist would give some the image of Elijah. And John the Baptist knew that God was doing something. And it was good news. And that was good news that people did not know about yet. It's easy for us in the world to walk a crooked path because those paths can make us feel good. Our broken humanity is good at blaming others when things go wrong. Our broken humanity is good at dehumanizing people that are different from us and then blaming them when things go wrong. Our broken humanity can feel good by walking in such a crooked path. But John the Baptist is telling us that God is calling us to a different path than the crooked paths of this world. When we are baptized and immersed in the Holy Spirit, we're given the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark 1:1 gives us a promise of that anointing that is to come to us in the Holy Spirit. That the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, he's saying all these things about Jesus for us to trust and to hold on to. John is inviting us to turn from the crooked path of this world to be ready to receive Jesus, the Son of God, whose forgiveness and mercy will liberate and free us. Let every heart prepare them room. John is also inviting us in this time to just embrace the promise. Mark 1, verse 5. "And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." Confessing their sins. What John the Baptist is preparing those gathered to see and to hear is that condemnation will not have the final word when Jesus comes. That they will be a freed people. That confessing their sins, they are admitting to the truth that they have not fully loved and trusted God, but John is promising forgiveness. And when we confess our sins, we are confessing that we have not loved and trusted God fully. But in Christ, we are trusting in that promise of forgiveness and not condemnation. Jesus comes to fix, to restore, and to make right our relationship with God and our relationship with the world. And if you were part of that original audience in hearing Mark's gospel, and you were to heard that line, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me," you might have been intrigued. Because you know this powerful one was crucified about 40 years ago. And maybe that's what captivates you. The crooked ways of power and violence just aren't working. Peace through force is not peace at all. And the cycle of violence just keeps repeating itself over and over and over again with the same results. Maybe you hear about this Galilean rabbi who is crucified and claims to have good news for everyone, not just one people, but all people, and you want to learn more. This Son of God dying is perplexing, but that might make you want to follow this story that leads you to the cross. In fact, at the death of Jesus in Mark's gospel, in chapter 15, verse 39, we hear, "Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way Jesus breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was God's son.'" A centurion who would have accepted the emperor as divine, based on those announcements and the portraits of the emperor on the coin, could see Jesus breathing his last on the cross and say, "This is truly God's son." The political order is challenged. To say that Jesus is Lord is to say the emperor and the empire is not. The world is no longer the same when we accept the truth and the promise of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because our trust, our faith, and our hope is not found in crooked paths. It's not found in politicians and world leaders. Our hope and trust is found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who on the cross does a new thing in breaking the cycle of violence that a broken humanity inflicts on itself. And a Christianity that is not co-opted by the empire can see how Jesus brings good news for all people, not just the select people, but all people of every nation. For if we shrug our shoulders at the violence and death of the world, because our broken humanity is too comfortable following the crooked paths, how can we expect anyone to take seriously the announcement of the angel in Luke's gospel at Jesus' birth when they say, "I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people"? Why would this rabbi who died on a cross matter? We're invited to hear so much in that first verse in Mark, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because it challenges the political order and the status quo. A new thing is happening in Jesus. And those longing for good news, whether they would have been people gathering from the countryside to hear John the Baptist, whether they're the first to hear Mark's gospel 40 years after Jesus was crucified, or us gathered today, we're all longing to hear good news in a dark and broken world. And when we trust this good news of Jesus Christ, God's anointed, who is the Son of God, our lives are transformed and we walk a new path because of God's Holy Spirit. We are now part of a new creation, calling all people to walk a new path where others might follow us on the way to the cross, and to see evil and death overcome by the faithfulness and love of Jesus, who dies on the cross for the sake of this world. That like the centurion, we would see Jesus for who he is, and with the church of every time and place rejoice in the good news and the promise, that with our faith and trust in Jesus, who shows us a new way, our relationship with God and one another is restored. May we receive and trust this good news and continue to share that good news with all people, that there is forgiveness and not condemnation, that in our God there is hope amid fear, and that love overcomes hate, and that there is life in the face of death. May we trust that this good news continues to unfold, making us new and bringing love and life everlasting. Thanks be to God. Amen.